When Maisie was younger, my little girl, when she was younger, she had, her name is Maisie, and there's apparently a series of books about Maisie the mouse. And she had one book called Where Are You Going, Maisie? And you would open each page, and Maisie the mouse would be on the page, and she'd be surrounded by all sorts of things that she had with her. And you were to name each of those things, and then from that discern her destination. Where was she going? Where was she on her way to? So you'd look, and you'd see a beach ball and a bathing suit and a towel and maybe some picnic items. And where are you going to, Maisie? And you'd flip the page, and she's going to the beach. Or she'd have a grocery list and a grocery bag and a grocery cart. Where are you going to, Maisie? She's going to the grocery store. The book was based on an assumption. It assumed that every reader would connect something without being told that they had to do this. The assumption was that there is a connection between our destination and the way that we're going. There's a connection between our destination and what we have with us in life, how we are living. There's a connection there. It's easy to say that if Maisie had, a beach ball and a towel, we always know you're going somewhere to swim. This isn't just a coincidence that you're walking around with these things. There's a strong connection between knowing we're going somewhere and how we live and the kind of things that we have around us. We know our destination. We know the way. And it's reflected in how we live, what we do, how we prepare for our destination. Or do we know? Where are we going? Where are you going? Do you know the way? If someone was to look at your life as if it were a children's book and saw all the things going on in your life, all the things that you have around you, all of your activities, what destination would they say that you have? Maybe they would look at my life and they would say, well, clearly this guy thinks that gardening is really everything, right? So you can see the dirt under my fingernails. I turned the compost yesterday. I got some of the old things from yesterday all cleaned up, from last year all cleaned up. My seeds are coming up nicely. I'm quite excited about it. Is gardening my destination? Or maybe you would look at someone else or your own life and it would be music or art or enterprise and ambition or work or sports or caring for family and friends. These are all good things that fill our lives and surround us, that we pour our time and energy and heart into. But there is something bigger and broader than all of these things. Something that unites them, that brings them together and gives them meaning and context. And this is our destination. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was trying yet again to break the news to his disciples that he would be leaving. And so they asked him, "Where are you going?" But he answered in such a way that we would know not only where he was going, but that where anyone who followed him would be going as well. We were to understand from what he said what God's intentions were for our destination. And we were to understand something about the kind of things that ought to be in our life, the way that we would go. At first, Jesus' answers to the question, "Where are you going?" seem like a very straightforward answer. It was read for us. Thank you, Enosh. It was read for us. I am going to the Father. I'm going to my Father's house. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. It was once translated mansions, which just at the time meant dwelling place. I'm going to prepare many dwelling places. And if I go, I will return again to you and take you so that you may be with me also. If Jesus is going to the Father's home, then the next question is, well, where is the Father's home? Is it the temple? Is that his dwelling place? Is it Jerusalem? Is it the land of Israel, the nation, the kingdom belonging in time to David? This was the leaning of the disciples. And you see that in all of their questions throughout the Gospels and even at the very beginning of Acts. Now, Lord, now are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? After everything else they had experienced, they still were thinking, where is the Father's dwelling place? It's here in this land, in this political kingdom. But perhaps some of us might think it's a straightforward answer in a different way. Is it heaven? Is it another realm? Is it another dimension? Is that where the Father's house is? But if you were listening, we were told where the Father's home will be. In verse 23, the home of the Father is with humans, with people. I will come, we will come, and we will make our home with you. The home of the Father is not something that humans will ascend to in the Gospel of John, but rather the home of the Father is one that will descend to us and to people. God's invitation is, I will come, and I will make my home in you. We could ask a similar question. If Jesus is going to the Father, where is the Father? We've talked about where the Father's home is, but where is the Father? In verse 10, Jesus says, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Again in verse 23, and we will come to you and make our home in you, with you. So where are we going? We know where Jesus is going. He's somehow leaving but coming to us. Where are we going? Our destination is nothing less than God's self, God's very being. Readers of theologians and the church fathers and mothers will know this word, that this is theosis, the union of heaven and earth, the union of human with God. Jesus' prayer in chapter 17 is, Father, may they be one with us as we are one. Jesus said, I will come again to you. I will not leave you. I am coming to you. And not only Jesus. In verse 14, we see the Holy Spirit will be sent to you. The Holy Spirit will live in you. And in verse 20, on that day you will know that I am in my Father, that you are in me, and I am in you. Our destination, where we are headed, is knowing God, living with God, living in union with God. When? Is it a future time only? Or is it now? Because Jesus is using language both ways, future tense verbs and present tense verbs. I will come again. I will live in you. I'm coming to you. Yes, it is when we die. Yes, on the day of resurrection. But it is also now. Now that the Father comes and lives within us. Now that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Now that Jesus comes and lives within us. The destination, the intentions of God, the purpose of God from the beginning has been that human beings would know God. And that this is something that we experience today in part, knowing that one day we will experience it in full. This was Jesus' prayer to the Father in John 17. This is eternal life, that they would know you. This is the clear teaching of Jesus here. And the disciples respond in a way that's logical and progressive. This chapter 14 is built around four questions that the disciples ask. And you can see that even if these words are bewildering, they're almost beyond our ability to comprehend what Jesus is saying. And they certainly seemed like they're grasping at straws, as we like to say. But their questions do follow what Jesus is saying. The first question and the second question, where are you going, Jesus? And when Jesus answers that he is going to make a place for them within the Father, and the Father is going to come to them, well, then the next two questions would be, how? And so in verse 8, Thomas says, well, if that's the purpose, if that's our destination, then show us the Father. Reveal the Father to us. And then further down, Judas, not Iscariot, asks a further question. Well, if you're going to reveal yourself to us, how is it that you could reveal God just to us and the whole world not know? They understood that he was saying their destination, their purpose in life was to know God and to be with God and in God and God in them. And so now they're asking about the way. What is the way? And you all know the answer to this one. Jesus anticipated this question. And he's already said it, hasn't he? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The disciples ask, how is it that God could be revealed and yet remain hidden at the same time? The last time God was revealed on earth, it was a pillar of cloud. Nobody could mistake it. Pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. The last time God appeared on earth, the mountain was shaken. The earth, the air was fractured. The sea parted. There was no mistaking that God was real, that God was present, that God was really here. No one needed help when God revealed God's self. But this time, the way is Jesus. The gate is Jesus. This time, the truth is Jesus. Jesus is just one human being among billions, uniquely sent by God at the center of history. There is no other name among humans by which we can be saved. It is, at least for me, hard to accept this. For that matter, it's hard to comprehend how knowing God, how my union with God could depend on another human being, on one human being that lived 2,000 years ago. Someone I could have shaken hands with, someone I could have met on the street, someone I could have probably walked past and ignored. This person is the means, the way that I will reach my destiny. I will reach my purpose. This man is the means by which I will know God, that I will be united to God. But that is our confession. Philip said, Jesus, show us the Father. But Jesus said, if you know me, you know my Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus, who is alive, appeared to Paul later. And he wrote about this in his letter to the church in Corinth. I saw on Jesus' face the glory of God. I saw on this man that I knew had lived on earth, a human being, I saw on his face the glory of God. We know our destination, and Jesus is the way to that destination. So what do we have with us again in our life? To look back at that picture book of our life, what is it that we have around us? Maisie had, you know, a beach ball and a towel and a blanket, and she was going to the beach. And our destination is union with God, with our Creator. And the way is through Jesus Christ. So what do we have with us in our life? No human being can go up to God to bring God down. But the Word of God was sent to us, born of the Virgin Mary, named Jesus by his Father. He is the way. So what will we bring with us? Jesus prepares his disciples for this question as well. And he gives three descriptions of things that ought to be in their life, that ought to be in any life that's connected to that destination. Know Jesus, love Jesus, and obey Jesus. If you know me, you know my Father. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by God, my Father. And I will love them, and I will reveal myself to them. Those who love me keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them, and we will make our home with them. Jesus tells us the things that ought to be in our life. Knowing Jesus. Loving Jesus. And to love someone inevitably means submitting. If we want to love someone and know someone, we can't impose who we are all the time. We learn this in all of our relationships. The relationship breaks down. It's one way. To love someone is to submit to the other one, to ask them what they want. To love Jesus is not, or to obey Jesus is not simply to be in fear and to have a list of instructions. To obey Jesus is to want to know him more, to want to understand what he wants to do with our lives and in our lives. To love Jesus shows us that God is not just simply interested in us having knowledge about God or about this world, but God's intention is that we would delight in God, that love we would have would be a source of joy and of life and of energy, that we would know Jesus and love Jesus and obey Jesus. Those of you who are young in faith or young in life, is this a picture of your life right now? Would we see in your life, a picture of your life, that you are knowing Jesus, that you are seeking to love Jesus, that you are seeking to obey Jesus? There is no substitute for praying every day and throughout your day. There is no substitute for stilling yourself, opening up your heart, saying what's on your mind, but then listening to what Jesus will say to you. Jesus is alive. There is no substitute for asking Jesus to speak to you and then opening up the stories about him and reading about Jesus so that you might know him, so that you might love him, so that you might obey him, so that the Father and Jesus and the Spirit may come to live in you. There is no substitute for gathering with others in prayer, in song, in reflection, in work. These are the things that ought to be in the picture of our lives every day. Those of you who are much longer into your journey of faith, can you, as Peter urged you today in his letter, three times, can you endure, endure, endure? For to this you have been called. Jesus also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you should follow in his steps. Endure. Now I know photo albums are no longer as common as they used to be. But those of you who are long into your faith, I'm sure that at home, somewhere in your shelves, you have photo albums. I suspect that many of you do. What pictures are there of your life with Jesus? Your long years of faithfulness. The many times you would look back over these pictures and see Jesus has been your good shepherd. He has been with you. He has never abandoned you. How rich to have so many decades of experience of knowing God, so many decades of experience of having God come to live within you. How rich, how enviable. May those of us who are younger also grow like you have into the knowledge of the love of God for us. But it's never too late to know more and to continue to learn, to every day be renewed in love for Jesus, to every day follow your calling, to obey, and to persevere. Because it is through our daily living that we draw closer to our destination, taking hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. Jesus is alive. We should know him. Our destination is something that we must live out day after day, drawing closer all the time to being one with God, living within God. We reject the Gnostic and the pagan notion that this life and this planet, this earth, is pointless and perhaps even evil, and then we go to paradise. God became a human being in Jesus Christ. And when he died, he was raised bodily again from the dead. We know God and we love God through this man, Jesus. And we know and love God through this life that he has called us to live. Let us do so knowing that our souls are in the care of the Good Shepherd. And to Jesus be all the glory now and forever. Amen.